Welcome back to Footsteps in the Attic. You know, last week I had said we're going to kick off Halloween season in style, and I could not have a better guest with me tonight because she is the brainchild behind the brand new series Ghost Hunting Beauties. On top of being a paranormal investigator, she's also a psychic medium and happens to be a very successful businesswoman to boot. Please welcome back to the show the beautiful Angela Kotz. Angela, happy October, happy Halloween season, my friend.
Yes, happy spooky season. It is kicking off.
Yes, it is. And speaking of kicking off, you, my friend, had a little premiere the other night. You want to talk a little bit about Ghost Hunting Beauties?
Yes, we had our big launch, and no better place to hold your launch party inside of a haunted restaurant. So come on. It was the Wunchy Brothers Cafe and Saloon. Like, I'm hoping that people have an experience while they're there. So I said, this is the best place to host a ghost hunting launch party, right in the haunted restaurant.
Beautiful. You couldn't have chosen a better location. I'm not surprised. And you had some reporters interested. You have a lot of people interested in your show. I love the entire concept. It's all women run. It's these powerhouse investigators and you leading the pack with your medium abilities and your boldness and your strength, because you're willing to go into these locations. So how did you feel about the entire season?
Oh man, it's one of those things that it's no matter if you're a skeptic or a full blown believer. I can't even talk because I'm so stumbling here because I'm like, wow. I mean, there were so many things that came out that we just didn't realize. There were things we debunked. We were like, oh, this is not paranormal. This didn't happen. And then there were things that happened that we did not see coming. I mean, left and right, even people who were skeptics, which I would say the crew, definitely skeptics. And then now I think they're pretty hardcore believers.
It's great when you can get the crew, as I did in my documentary called The Witch of Hinsdale. Our camera guy, Mike, who was wonderful, was a skeptic. And he was the first one that I would say wanted to leave the property and was the most affected. So it's kind of like, you feel bad, but at the same time, you're like, yeah, you see, I told you this stuff is real.
She's like, I told you so.
Yes, exactly. Now, you're not afraid to dive into the dark and scary stuff, and it being Halloween season, I'd love for you to recap what the scariest situation was that you were ever in and how that affected you.
Oh, man, there's just so many. I think one of the scariest things doesn't always happen when we're filming, but it happens off camera. Mm-hmm. Like everything that you don't expect. It's almost like they know you're recording and they drain the energy from your batteries, from your lights. And I feel like when you have a camera crew there, like they don't want to perform. You know, they're like, oh, there's a camera. Why would I do that? But all that electric energy, I feel like they draw from it.
I agree with you. I completely agree with you, because the scariest stuff we had happen when we were filming ours happened like behind us or right after we had turned the camera in the different direction. But I also think that adds validity to it, because that shows you it's not staged. It's not set up, because if it was, it would be these perfect shots where everything's in perfect frame. So I think that actually adds credibility to what we're doing.
Oh, for sure. One of the scariest moments I have to say was my own personal experience. It was something we talked about for Hotel Icon. Mm-hmm. So Hotel Icon was one of those that the hotel itself, we hear from every staff member they've experienced something. Everybody's seen something, so we had to go explore. But the scariest part of the whole thing does not make it on air. It happens to when they're investigating upstairs. I get left alone downstairs. Number one thing is never leave your ghost hunting buddy alone. And I got left alone. And I was like, oh, when I feel a presence coming near me, my chest gets heavy. And that's how I know something's near me. So my chest was heavy, and I thought, well, I guess something's standing next to me. It's like, well, that's par for the course. We're ghost hunting. And next thing you know, it's almost like blacking out. And I felt something press against my throat. And I don't know how much time had passed because nothing was being recorded at the time. But one of the paranormal investigators, Amy, comes up to me and she's like snapping her fingers in my face. She's like, hey, are you okay? And then I'm like, yes. Like, I'm just coming right out of it. She goes, where were you? And I was like, what happened? And I stayed freaked out for the rest of the episode because we still had to film. We still wow. had to film. And I'm going, how am I going to get on camera and act like everything's okay? Because, I mean, there's still, you're filming, you still got to keep your composure. If suddenly they don't see all these things happen to me and on camera I'm melting down, people are going to go, is she okay?
No, and that's the thing. People don't understand. Like, it psychologically affects you. I mean, obviously, along with physically, when you're physically touched, but it can have severe, like, psychological ramifications because there's nothing there, yet there is. And some people, that's very hard to process.
Yes. One of the things that scares me the most for anything with ghost hunting is anything with exorcisms and anything with possession. Because mm-hmm. your biggest fear is that there's no training for that. Where do you go? For exorcism, yes, there's training because it's part of the Catholic religion. But outside of that, how do you train for, here's what you do in survival class for if you get possessed. What do you do with that if a spirit uses you as a conduit? There's just no prepping anyone for that. And I think the new Exorcist movie is coming out, which I'm kind of curious to see. So I'm like, oh my God, like, what do you do with that?
Yeah. I mean, I'm actually glad you brought that up because one of the questions I was going to ask you later, which I will ask now, is what your thoughts are on automatic writing, because I feel that that is really dangerous because you are voluntarily letting a spirit inside to take over your writing abilities, but also they have to be inside of you. They have to be given permission. So is that something you would ever attempt? Is that something that you've seen?
It's something I've actually experienced when I was young. Mm-hmm. It was one of those that I wanted to communicate with the other side. Been doing this my whole life. And when I was younger, see, I didn't even know it was called that. These mm-hmm. are some of these things I'm learning so much as I go along from so many professionals and so mm-hmm. many experts and people who have just been boots on the ground. And with that, I used to do that when I was a young kid, that I would let spirits come into me mm-hmm. and write things on paper. And I would never know what it would say half the time. Sometimes it was scribbles. Sometimes it was symbols I've never seen before, things I could never explain. It really used to kind of freak me out. But then when you're a kid, you're like, cool. You know, like right. Beavis and Butthead of the paranormal world. You're like, cool.
Good, nicely put.
I kept doing it for years. So it's one of those now, no. Mm-mm, no, like, I barely like to drink and not be in control. I couldn't imagine going, here, a random spirit, take over.
Do you feel that the Halloween season spikes paranormal activity? Because I do. I think not only because of, you know, the history of Halloween, but also there are a lot of groups such as the Satanic Church that view this as their Christmas time, more or less. Like, there's a lot of rituals that take place around Halloween time. So do you notice that? Do you notice a spike around this time of year?
Oh, for sure. And this is my theory, along with spirits being conjured and different things. People always say, how come in Gettysburg and different places and haunted locations around the anniversary of the death of so-and-so, why is it then they appear? Because you're thinking about them.
Yeah.
You're not conjuring per se, but you're manifesting that energy. And it's almost like picking up a telephone and calling someone. So if so many people are picking up their phones, you're just channeling energy, energy, energy. So October, what are we doing? We're watching mm-hmm. scary movies. Mm-hmm. We're thinking about ghosts. We're thinking about, you know, things sneaking up on us. And we are more likely to have paranormal experiences in October. This has been, for how many years did we see this as a ritual to ward off bad spirits? So when did the bad spirits, they're like, hey, you rang?
Yeah. No, nicely said. I mean, not only have I been to Gettysburg repeatedly and things happen, but I live very near Valley Forge, and I remember going there the night the anniversary of when the troops arrived, and we had a tour guide, and he said, and they arrived around this time, and sure enough, this was not planned. All the lights were flickering like crazy in the building, and the tour guide was freaked out because you're wow. using your collective energy, and it's, you know, you're thinking about it, and then things happen.
Yep. Think about how many books there are out there, business books that go manifesting your destiny, mm-hmm. manifesting the good things in your life. You really do have a lot of power because we're all made of energy. And have you ever seen these people that walk around? They're like, everything in my life sucks. I can't catch a break.
Yeah.
They're manifesting those bad things. And
you're
you
right.
see these people that are happy-go-lucky. They're like, no, good things are happening to me. They're manifesting the good things.
You're so right. Amen to that, my friend. Good point.
Absolutely. I think that's why we have a lot of activity when we are ghost hunting versus some people go, well, we did an investigation, didn't do anything. I think with so many of us manifesting and, you know, talking to spirits and having so many years of experience doing so, I think that's why we've had such success with the show so far. I mean,
yeah.
so many things coming to fruition.
No, you're 100% right. And I want to do two things. First of all, I want to tell people right now, where can they find Ghost Hunting Beauties? Because I don't want to save it for the end. Let's let people know right now, where can they find this show that just premiered? Because it is phenomenal. You should see the work and the time that Angela put into this. So we need to let people know where they can find this show.
Thank you. I appreciate you. It's on YouTube. We are streaming. Episode 1 has aired on Friday, so we debuted that day. And the next episode is coming out, of course, on Friday the 13th, which is going to be really awesome.
I love that.
The jail. Second one is going to be Old Town Spring. So the Old Town Spring was the one we showed while we were in Wunschy Brothers. So people are going, oh my God, I didn't realize this place was so haunted, as they're watching it and they're kind of looking at their table and looking around.
I love that. I'm going to be promoting you because I'm going to a monster festival next Friday the 13th. So it's a perfect place.
God.
So you can bet your butt I'm going to be like, you got to check out Ghost Hunting Beauties.
Yes, thank you. Oh, we appreciate that. Because our whole show is, we want people to get excited about the paranormal.
Yeah.
We don't want everybody with nothing but jump scares. Now, jump scares and things are going to happen, but we want people to get excited. We want people to learn. We want to educate on the haunted history, and we want to teach people how you need to go in there and how you need to ghost hunt and be respectful. Like, if people come away with learning at least one thing, then I think we've had a successful show.
I agree. And I'd love to know I know we've recapped this before, but tell people some of the locations that you're covering this season and what locations are you covering in the future?
Oh, that's a good question. So this last season, we had the haunted Lavaca jail, and that one was the one that I said stuff happened off camera and on camera.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Old Town Spring.
Yep.
And that was the one at Wunschy Brothers. And now it's another thing. I was like, oh, where else did we investigate? There was Hotel Icon, which was the one where I got choked and where something came into my body. And then, of course, we had season finales, Demon's Road. Let me tell you, you can go down to Demon's Road 100 times and your experience will be different every time.
Wow. Can you tell me a little bit about the lore or the history behind Demon's Road and what makes it so terrifying?
Oh, absolutely. So the initial history isn't terrifying when it begins. It was a Methodist settlement. It was called the Robinson Settlement. And of course, they had a little Methodist church there. And I'm telling you, this church was tiny. So, I mean, think about it. We didn't have huge populations everywhere back in the 1800s. So just small group of people. And then one of the parishioner's wife's name was Martha. And when she passed away, they buried her there. Well, they donated the settlement. And then so they called it Martha's Chapel Cemetery. So none of that was the terrifying part. What started happening is this cemetery started drawing in very strange people. And I mean, that's coming from a strange person. So, me being a strange person saying they were a little kooky. I mean, this was about 1985. The sheriff's department was really getting sick of getting called out there. They're like, what is happening in Martha Chapel Cemetery?
Do you think they were like satanic groups?
Yes, they were. I can't say some of the hate groups that would come out there some of the satanic groups that would come out there. So these people were coming out there and they started stirring it up. And
now,
whatever they stirred up is what started it.
I want to piggyback on what you just said, because for those who might not be aware, satanic groups love to go into locations that are already stained and have a paranormal history, and then they perform rituals predominantly to bring forth demons, to conjure forward very dark and, let's just say, unholy entities. And I believe that is probably what you are alluding to right now.
Oh, 100%. So the sheriff's department that actually nicknamed it Demon's Road.
Oh, God.
So from that point, people are like, ooh, as soon as they heard Demon's Road, they're like, we got to venture out here. And I'm telling you, people there that would never have thought to have an experience, they're like, oh, this will just be fun. We'll go to a cemetery. They started seeing things. There's red eyes appearing from the woods. There's the lights of Demon's Road. And they say the lights coincide with how many people are in your car. Now, that can't be a coincidence. It'd be one thing if you see one light, they're like, oh, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. But how is it suddenly the number of lights will change with how many people's in your car?
Holy shit. I mean, and you had me at red eyes, because red eyes are always an indication of something negative.
Oh, yeah. And the scariest part, which is my favorite story out there, is the little boy on the tricycle. So supposedly, if you go out there and see a little boy on the tricycle, sometimes he just rides away from you and you don't say anything to him. If you say something to him, he is supposed to turn around, look into your soul, and if you have any sins, transgressions. So I'm like, oh, who's making out of this? Who's coming out of here alive?
Right?
Apparently he goes home with you and you wake up to him standing on your chest screaming at you. And I'm like, whoa!
That is not an experience I would like to have. So, wow.
No ghost kids. I would rather the lady in white, the lady in red, the lady in black, any lady in something than a ghost child.
I am so with you. There's two things that will always, I find, unnerving and rattle me, and that are ghost children and haunted dolls. They're just freaky.
Oh, I had two haunted dolls in my podcast studio. You would have freaked out.
Oh, well, you're going to have to tell me a little bit behind that. I got to hear a little bit about a haunted doll story.
Oh, yeah. So I'm with you. I'm terrified of haunted dolls. So I go on a ghost hunting tour, which is the Old Town Spring Ghost Walk, and I tell her I'm terrified of haunted dolls. So, of course, we stop at the doll hospital, and she brings out the haunted doll. And I'm like, oh, oh, get it away from me, you know, trying to not completely melt down. And she goes, here, and puts it in my hands. And she's the nicest lady ever. Penny Dreadful is what she goes by, but her real name is Karen Miller. She is a paranormal author. She has got stories for days. Like, you've got to get her on your podcast soon, because, I mean, and she tells all of her stories in an accent which definitely rivals mine. But this haunted doll she hands to me, and let me tell you, my friend, you have a right to be scared of these dolls, because the second I hold it, I didn't want to give the doll up.
Wow.
I felt completely different. I felt like a mother holding her child, and I started to walk away with this doll eventually. And she's like, okay. And another girl says, can I hold her? And I went, no, this is my doll.
Wow.
My husband steps in and goes, and give the doll back.
Yeah, because it was affecting you. You were definitely being affected.
I would have taken this doll home. No telling what it would have done to my house.
Right? Oh, you would have come home one day and there would have been stuff flying around the house. There's no doubt.
Could you imagine? Things are flying around my house. I'm sitting in a haunted rocking chair going, this is my baby. You know, just rocking back and forth slowly.
That's when your husband's like, honey, we're going somewhere else. Let's go.
Knowing him, nothing freaks him out with me anymore or any less. But if he saw this, his first question would be, when did we get a rocking chair? That would be his first question. Not even the doll or anything.
That's what makes you guys so perfect together. So,
yes, 100%. Good. Nothing affects him.
That is a good quality. So I don't blame you for keeping him around.
Sure. Like the haunted jail, when we had to turn the lights out, that was the one thing I said, just don't turn the lights out. And he turns it pitch black.
Oh,
pitch
no.
Black. And I finally saw him go, that's interesting, when we heard the jail cells slam. And
oh my
no
gosh.
One was up there.
That is freaky.
And that's exactly how he felt. He was like, that's interesting. And then he keeps filming us. And I'm sitting there with my face in my hands going, I can't run because that's where the rest of the jail cells are. Where do you go with ghosts around?
Oh my gosh. That is,
You can run from Michael Myers. How do you run from a ghost?
That's, I know, because you don't know if they're beside you, in front of you, all around you. There's just, no. Exactly. If you can look back and see the person coming after you, that's great. But a force... How are you supposed to run from a force?
Exactly. I mean, it's energy, and that energy is, what if it's attached to you? It's like sitting on your shoulder. Where are you running from, Scooby-Doo? Where are you going?
I would love to do a little experiment with you, if you're open to it. I've had people with your gifts before that have the gift of mediumship, and I would love to throw some haunted locations your way and just see what your impressions are when you quote unquote tap in, as my wonderful medium sister calls it, when she taps in, just to get her vibe and her thoughts. I was wondering if you would be willing to do that tonight.
Of course.
That is really cool. I got a list of some famous places, locations, and I just want your opinions on what hits you when I say these names, okay? Let's start with one of the most famous, the Amityville Horror House.
Oh, yes, the Amityville Horror House. The vibes I get from that place, anytime, I've avoided watching the movie, I'll be honest, because with locations like that, I feel like there's something so dark it drives people to madness with it.
Yeah,
and I'm so afraid that will conjure up into my house if I watch it.
I've been to the house. I've been right up to the front door. I mean, to the degree where I had my hand on the front door, could look in the kitchen, and it looks exactly like the original film. And
Oh, yes.
And not only that, the energy is there. I can tell you that there is something there. For those who think that case was a hoax, it was not. And I've gotten that confirmed by several demonologists and investigators. And my friends who were with me would not set foot on the property itself. That's how intense it was. So the fact that you have that initial reaction to it without having even seen the movie is very telling to me.
100%. It's definitely, I've sensed madness there. Like, and madness is not something that you can control. And madness, when you're conjuring things with a certain level of madness, I feel like it's a different level of darkness that you're going to need a priest for. I mean, you're going to need people with extensive training and durability to be able to try to do anything. Like, I don't think that house can be cleansed.
Yeah.
And that's me saying that. Like, I usually I have faith, but I'm telling you, I think that it's just embedded into the ground.
The house is just
something that's part of it.
You're right. They did a follow-up years ago. It was called Amityville Revisited, and they took three of the top psychics, and they all said, it's here. It's not going anywhere. It's like a ticking time bomb. And eventually, when it decides to boom once again. It's going to hit that, not only that house, but that entire area with such a force that they're not even going to believe the intensity behind it.
Exactly. That's 100%. You're right. And did you feel dizzy when you touched the handle, nauseous? What were your feelings when you touched like the door handle?
It's funny. I don't have your gifts, but I could feel it. I could feel that there is a very intense energy there, and it's not a friendly vibe. It's a dark vibe. It's a somber vibe. It's a tragic vibe. And I believe I will say it. I believe there's evil within the walls of that house. I truly do.
I believe it.
I'm so glad.
Anytime there's bloodshed, it's almost like that's what a lot of the, now I haven't studied Satanism, mm-hmm. you know, by any means, you know, I've done enough research to know a little bit, but I do know that a lot of that religion is revolved around blood.
Yes.
And things mm-hmm. wanting blood. So mm-hmm. on these places where blood is shed, I feel like it feeds whatever darkness is there. 100%.
Very well said, that you are 100% correct. And there was a family murdered in that house, the Lutz family. So it's not a fun environment. Let's put it that way.
Right. I think he said the actors had some terrible experiences there. All of them had terrible experiences.
They sure did. They sure did. And my buddy Ralph, let's just say he confirmed to me that that house was not a hoax in any way, shape, or form, and that there is a very real, viable, evil presence within the walls.
100% is definitely 100%. I actually had a vision of a haunted place, speaking of haunted places, and it's been a while since I've been asleep and had a very clear vision, mm-hmm. but it was weird because it was like sepia toned, almost like a blue cyan / sepia toned look to it, you know, mm-hmm. almost black and white, but had that kind of coloring to it. And I couldn't understand, you know, when I woke up and I said that I could picture us. I pictured all of the ghost hunting beauties there, and I pictured the spring paranormal investigators there, and we wouldn't go in the house. And I'm thinking, that's unusual. Why wouldn't we go in the house? We're brave. We go in, you know, we've got boots on the ground. We do this. And then we didn't for that investigation. So I wake up and I'm scrolling through Facebook and that house appears.
Wow.
And I'm like, what the heck is this? And I'm sending it to my medium friends, psychic friends, sending it to people I know going, can you confirm that there's something dark here? At 100%. They go, something is calling you there. And that Ooh. Is scary. And I went, ooh. And I was like, that's why I had a vision. So I really believe that these homes and properties, like you said, can hold dark energy.
They sure can. They 100%. And I'm really glad that you confirmed a lot. I mean, just by saying that name and how much you picked up. I have a few more I'd love to throw at you to get. And this is a location that I just visited very recently, and I had a tremendous experience there. I would love your thoughts, your impressions on the Mothman case in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. What are your feelings when I say the Mothman?
You know what's so strange about that one? Because I don't know a whole lot about the Mothman case, mm-hmm. but when you talk about it and I've heard the different legends and different things, the feeling I get from that is definitely inhuman, but yes. possibly something that's like an alien, like something that's stranded here. Like, I'm yeah. telling you, this is, it's going to sound crazy. Like I said, all this stuff can sound crazy to anyone, but this one will probably sound extra crazy. Is you ever see people that travel with their pets?
Yeah.
And then suddenly it gets scared and runs off. And oh my God, now my dog ran away. I lost my dog on a vacation. Imagine these, you know, things. Interstellar travelers, and one of their creatures they bring with them gets loose.
No, I don't think you're off base at all, because you don't know this, because you and I haven't talked about this, By the way, ladies and gentlemen, we did not discuss this beforehand. I've done a deep dive into this case, and my conclusion has always been this thing is some kind of interdimensional being. It doesn't hit the paranormal button completely, and it doesn't quite hit the alien button. It's some hybrid in between. So the fact that you were saying that it's some kind of like interstellar, you know, like pet, like that is very much in line with what I believe this thing might be.
100%, because it doesn't seem like it's from here. Like when we experience things that are paranormal, like spirits, we usually can get a human or inhuman sense. This seems like it's something beyond us.
Yes.
Something that we don't know what the heck it is because we've never seen anything like it. I mean, when you go to that monster fest, I mean, ask how many people think that it might be something alien or an alien pet.
Yeah. No, it's true because the people that did see it were terrified by it because they hadn't seen anything like it before. And I went into those TNT caves deep in the woods. And before the local guy who lived there, you know, nearby, before I even walked in, he goes, oh, by the way, you got to be really careful in these TNT areas because there's a lot of satanic groups that come in and do rituals inside here. So, Angela, I get inside and sure enough, I hear a woman's laughter when I'm asking the question. And I got such an ominous feel that I was not comfortable being in there. So I stayed about 5 minutes and I was like, you know what? I got to get out of here. This is not something that wants me in here. And I got the vibe it was not going to be a friendly encounter. So, And I will send you pictures of it later. You will see why it was extra freaky because it is literally in the middle of the woods, in the middle of nowhere.
God, I'm telling you, it's all these things, because we always sit here and think with paranormal and different stuff, the inhuman world is what I've been diving into with talking to different experts who've been on the Travel Channel. I've encountered so many people that are educating me on things that are not human that we don't understand. And I always have this theory because it sounds so outrageous when I've seen this, but these people are not making this up. I mean, how many people, you know, if that many people seeing the same thing, it just doesn't make sense that everybody would be making it up. It seems like there's things that we just don't understand that we're coming across. And like aliens don't all look the same. How many dimensions do we have that we don't know about? How many planets are out there? How many suns did we discover? How many universes? And we don't know what they look like because their lives and their planets are different.
I couldn't agree more. We haven't even scratched the surface of what's out there. Thank you for that. That was I love that analysis. I have a few more because by the way, you're wonderful at this. You truly do have a gift. This one's a very dark case too, or a dark phenomenon. How about the Dybbuk box? What comes to your mind when I say that?
I actually did a podcast on the Dybbuk box, so I did research that one.
Okay, that's fine.
So that one was interesting. The Dybbuk box, man, that one seems like somebody put something on it and created it. Like something that it was just an ordinary box that somebody did something to. Like somebody like ancient did something to it. Like this thing has been passed around, and I feel like it's one of those that, again, is holding some kind of ritualistic energy.
Because I
do believe curses can happen. And with the Dybbuk box, there's got to be something to it. It can't be a coincidence with these people who've opened it and these terrible things happening to it. But there's definitely some sort of ritualistic curse with it.
I love that. Thank you. And I believe I'm in total line with what you're saying, in total alignment, because the research I've done, yes, that confirms what I believe about it. We spoke a little bit about obviously aliens in the universe. So I'm going to throw a wild one at you. See what your impressions are when I say the dark side of the moon. What are your impressions when I say that?
First of all, was it, I think, like Pink Floyd?
Yes, yes, of course.
That's my first impression. Yes. And they're going, oh, it sounds like a groovy time. The Dark Side of the Moon. It's the same as the dark side of anything. You know, there's got to be a yin and a yang. For everything that there's positive, there is going to be negative. Mm-hmm. So where the moon produces such good things for us, controls the tides, and you flip over to the dark side of the moon, there's things that, if it thrives in the dark, it's probably not good.
Yeah. And I certainly believe that there's a reason, let's put it this way, why we've never attempted to go quote unquote back, even though I have serious doubts we were ever there in the first place. But right. Something is keeping us away from there. And yeah, you and I are on the same page.
Exactly. If there's something that's good on the bright side of the moon, there's got to be something that's not so good on the dark side. And I honestly think that if we did make it there, because it seems like I've been one of those, I'm so on the fence on that one. Because for years I said there's no way we landed there. And then now I'm to the point I said, if we got there, I was like, I think they saw something.
Yes.
And then they didn't like what they saw, so they went back and restaged it.
Yes.
That's my theory. I could be totally wrong. I think they landed there, but I don't think that was done, you know.
Yes.
Where they had that one small step for man, I think that was 100% staged.
Yeah.
When they got there, they didn't like what they saw.
Yeah, it interfered with their narrative. So they reshot it to fit the narrative they wanted to tell.
100%. Because think about it. How many people have we seen go back?
Yeah.
If this was the easiest
exactly.
thing, what was it? You know, way back in the day, we're going there with this big hunk of metal.
Right. who they've said they forgot how they did it. They literally said they forgot how to do it. Like the technology's been like, really? Shouldn't by now, with all the advances we've made, shouldn't this be a common thing? Shouldn't this be commonplace that we're going there?
That should be the easiest thing we can do is go to the moon. And we're not going back for what reason? If we have to eventually colonize other planets, why are we not doing more extensive research? Or are we doing extensive research and they're just not telling us anything?
There are so many mic drop moments in what you just said. And they're all true.
I just want to see Elon Musk one time land on the moon. That's going to make my whole lifetime. And him just to sit there and put like a McDonald's sign or something. He could do that because I'm like, hey, you went back home, right? Oh, wait, no, you're off from Mars. There's no way that guy's human. I don't care what anyone says. He's not human. And then he's like, what could I say to make people believe I'm human? Oh, I'll tell them I'm autistic. And I'm like, no, sir. I'm a mother to a daughter with autism. No, no. That does not explain you, sir.
I think there's quite a few quote-unquote humans walking this earthly plane that are not of this earth.
Oh, he's not. There's no way. And it's everyone is saying it. Like, even people that aren't huge believers in aliens are going, no, there's something different with that guy. Like,
right?
Totally different.
Yeah, totally. I mean, these mad geniuses like Nikola Tesla, you know, people like that. It's like, are you guys really from here? Like, because you're just on a level that just most people are not.
Exactly.
You know?
They're either time travelers, aliens, or both.
Right?
There's just no way.
I have four more I'm going to throw your way, okay? This will do as a duo.
All right.
What comes to mind when I say Annabelle and Robert the Doll?
Oh, my goodness. My goal is to get near those dolls. As much as I'm scared of dolls, I need to experience it because everyone I know who has experienced Robert the Doll in particular has said that they feel something with him.
Yeah.
They feel like there's something there. Mm-hmm. And this could be because people put stuff in him. Now, with Annabelle, I don't know why, but it's again, I'm suddenly drawn to, I want to hold that doll. Like, ever since I've held one haunted doll, I'm drawn to it. And I can't explain it. So I don't know if these kind of forces, since I have mediumship, are calling me in, or if this is something that it's just a morbid curiosity.
Very well said.
Because I'm telling you, with Annabelle, I really believe that somebody put something on her, like similar to the Dybbuk box, some sort of curse, and then that passed on with that doll. Because, I mean, there's no way she keeps moving places.
Right.
Changing her head gestures and different things. Because originally, you know, the movie apparently has a doll that is more spookier looking.
Yeah, no, it's not a Raggedy Ann. Yeah, it's, you know, she was originally a Raggedy Ann doll, a big one. To me, that's much scarier than the doll they were trying to make to look scary, which to me then made it not scary in the movie. Like, the less scary the doll is, and then it's doing these things, the scarier the movie becomes.
Yes, exactly. I think there was one movie that really changed my world with haunted dolls, and I think I cannot think of the name of it off the top of my head, but if you like horror movies, the one where these dolls, they had a white-haired doll and one with some kind of giant drill on his head.
Oh, that's Puppet Master. Yeah.
Puppet Master.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Do you know, after that movie, I was young, and I took all of my dolls and put them in trash bags and asked my mother to put them up. I was like, if Pink Panther comes down off that shelf and tries to kill me tonight, it's like, I blame you.
I'll tell you what did it for me. You want to know the haunted doll movie that messed me up when I was little? It was Poltergeist, that clown doll, pulling the kid under the bed. That, when I was young, that messed me up.
Yes, that clown haunts all of our nightmares,
yes,
my friend, all of us.
Well,
that
said.
That clown didn't scare you. I challenge you to go for a mental health evaluation. You don't even have to be scared of clowns. That thing, no one expected its face to be there.
No.
Even if you did, who's brave enough to watch? I can't even watch that movie anymore. Mirrors and dolls, I'm done.
Yep. Oh, no, well, you're right. They're two freaky things right there, especially if you put them together. Two more locations for you. Okay.
Right.
This one is not as referred to in the paranormal community, but it's a location I have always been fascinated with, and I think there's something to it because the Native Americans were the ones who named this location this particular name, and it's called the Devil's Tower in Wyoming. And the listeners may know it as the structure in Close Encounters of the Third Kind that Richard Dreyfuss was drawn to, because it's long been thought that it could be a UFO landing dock, but nobody knows exactly what this thing is. And I'm just curious what your vibes are when I say that name.
Well, the Devil's Tower, to me, especially, it's interesting that you mentioned with Native Americans, because that's kind of the first thing that goes to mind is that they were performing ceremonies around this area.
Okay.
So as per usual, a location could be perfectly fine, but once you start ceremonies, that things start happening. So, but what inspired their ceremonies to be at that location? It could be something paranormal that they saw, like a bright light from the sky. And then suddenly, especially with Native American culture back then, we didn't have the internet, we didn't have any other information. You're going to be like, the gods are coming down.
Yeah.
So most likely this area, they saw lights, they saw things coming down, and they started performing their rituals there. They started going, this is holy land.
Wow. That would fit. That would definitely fit based on what I've read. So, again, you're completely on point, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. I wish I would have researched that one more, but it's better that you throw it at me without any research, because then, like I said, the Dybbuk box, Annabelle, and Robert, I've done some research on, but no clue about the Devil's Tower, and Amityville I haven't dove into yet. It terrifies me that bad. Like,
it is. It's scary.
Thinking about it. Oh.
I get it. No, well, that's because you're really genuinely affected by this. This isn't just, you know, you feel the energy, you feel the environment. And this is why I saved this one for the last on the list, because it not only is very Halloween-esque, but it's had a lot of trauma. And I'm just curious what you feel when I say Salem, Massachusetts.
Oh, yes. That place, I'm telling you, I want to get brave enough to go there, mm-hmm. but I know that I am going to absorb a lot of the trauma that came there,
yeah.
especially due to the witch trials, because so many people, and I feel like they executed the wrong people, they weren't even witches.
No, they did. They absolutely, what you said is correct. I've been there, I believe, 3 times, and they showed how people literally just made up what they called spectral evidence in court. You know, oh, see, they're conjuring something right now, and they just pointed at nothing. And right. And these were people that some people had personal vendettas against, and they just wanted attention, so they were making stuff up, and people were put to death based on it. And and I got to see Tituba's crystal ball. They had it at one of the stores. And that was crazy, because I am not, again, I don't have your abilities, but even I could sense something coming off that thing. So there is, that town is like Tim Burton come to life. So I thought you would definitely have a reaction when I said that.
Oh, for sure. I'm telling you, we went to a location recently. So they had a paranormal fest in San Antonio. So I was very excited that there was actually a paranormal fest here in Texas, so I could go to it.
Yes.
And sure enough, I'll share this with you, because I don't think I have shared this yet, but we actually had an experience there, a really dark one.
Oh, please share.
Yes. So Paranormal Fest was held in Victoria's Black Swan Inn. And if your listeners haven't looked this place up, just look it up and you will know. You'll look at it and you can tell there's something there. Even gift or no gift, you'll sense it. So it's built on top of an Indian burial mound, which means everything under there is death. Yeah. All Native Americans buried under there. And they're like, you know what we should do with this mound? Put a house on top of it.
Oh my gosh. You know what we should do?
Throw parties. Wild, crazy parties. Like, it was the place to go for dignitaries, people that, you know, had wealth and opulence. So we go on a tour, and of course they're telling us the history and different things, and I had to step back from the group at one point, and my husband knows what that means. He knows I see something, or I hear something, or I feel something. So he never chases me or, what's the matter? You know, he's kind of used to it. And then the tour guide, who doesn't know me, noticed it. And so he gave me a nod, and I was like, oh, okay, so he's used to mediums coming here. He knows what that means.
Right.
So he waits till the tour is done, and he goes, okay, what did you see? And I said, well, who is the little girl that was running around here? I said, you keep naming this little girl that was at the dollhouse that's next to it, because she had a little house built for her. I said, but that doesn't explain this little girl. And he's like, oh, my God. It's like, how did you know? And I'm like, what do you mean, how did I know? It's like, you know how I know. she was going around just having the time of her life, nothing negative, until we start to get into the house. So the tour breaks off. We go into the house. And instantly, my husband stops at the doorway. And he's like you, like he can sense things, but doesn't have medium gifts. And he goes, I feel dizzy. Wow. And I'm like, are you okay? And he goes, I feel very dizzy. And he goes, that was the first step in the house. I feel dizzy. So he was supposed to video my whole experience, and he couldn't. He started getting dizzy. So he's like, I'll just take a couple of pictures and see if we get anything. We walk in. We start going to the back of the house, and I stop. We go into a room, very odd vibes. And the pictures in that room mostly came out blurry.
Wow.
And then it gets worse. It gets worse, my friend. We go sit down, and a group of little girls are ghost hunting. They have their flashlights. They have cat balls. They have everything. And I almost cried. I was moved to tears in my eyes. I said, this is what the show's about, is inspiring teams of ghost hunters to go out and explore the paranormal. They were respectful. They were like, do you want us here? Is it okay if we ask you questions? I mean, I was almost crying. And then suddenly it took a dark turn. The doors kept slamming shut and slamming shut. And we recorded that. And I'm like, oh, the door slammed shut. Next thing you know, the girls go, there are some red orbs around that girl. And the girl vomited all over the floor. Some random lady just started vomiting everywhere. And I am an emetophobe, meaning I cannot see it, smell it, or hear it. So I ran out of there. And I mean, hauled it. Because I said, if there's red orbs around here, they ain't getting me.
Damn right. Damn right. Wow.
The girls, little bitty girls, they couldn't have been more than 10 years old, saw the orbs around her.
That's incredible.
And the girls were epic. I left my purse. I'm not kidding. I left everything.
I don't blame you.
They ran out, brought me my purse, brought me my phone. They go, here you go. Like, so respectful. And they said, there were dark orbs around her, you know. It scared us, and they left the investigation too. So we stopped our full investigation there at Victoria's Black Swan Inn.
Wow!
So there's your spooky story that nobody knows yet. That one was, I mean, wow! Like, you could feel something in there. Like, when I touched the mirrors, I heard screaming.
Unbelievable!
Oh, go ahead. I'm so sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say the last thing I sensed was a woman in the bathtub showed herself to me, which, you know, for men, they're these like, woohoo. For me, I was like, well, she's like 80 years old.
Right.
She's older. It's like, no one wants to see that. This reminds me of The Shining.
Shining.
Except it was an older bathtub, and I kept seeing her very intoxicated, sinking into the water.
Wow.
So I found the people who run the place, along with Joe. There's the Curious Paranormal Twins, I believe they're called. And I go find him, and I said, okay, you didn't tell us about this on the tour. Who was the lady that was drunk and almost drowned in the bathtub? And he goes, no freaking way. And I was like, damn it, man.
You?
And there was a lady that almost drowned in the bathtub, an older woman who was drinking and partying a bit.
Oh my gosh, you just hit that right on the head. That is unbelievable.
So it was neat to flex my medium skills, and it was interesting because there was mediums and psychics everywhere. There were people all from the paranormal world, people who've been on Travel Channel, Discovery Channel, and we met the nicest people. I mean, they talk about peri-unity, and I've heard that it can get with a lot of animosity, but man, everyone was so nice to us and so welcoming. They said to just watch our backs because things can turn on a dime, and to make sure that, you know, once our show goes big, to make sure if travel or big channels pick us up, to make sure that we stay true to what our brand is and keep going with what we're doing. So that's what we plan on doing.
I love that, and I'm so glad that you shared that story. I cannot believe we're almost out of time. So it just flew by. But
so many good stories.
Angela Kotz, you are amazing. I am so glad we got to do this and chat. And once again, where can people find you? And let's plug the show one more time.
Absolutely. Every channel that we have, our social channels are all going to be different content. Be sure to add us on Facebook, Instagram. We're at Ghost Hunting Beauties. If you look us up, if you want to watch the full show, full investigations, and our full podcast, be sure to check us out on Ghost Hunting Beauties on YouTube. That's where you can see the full show. That's where you can get all the information. That's the place to go.
And I will happily be plugging this show, so my listeners, reach out to me. I will send you the links. And Angela, will you please come back so we can have more paranormal chats?
Yes, absolutely. Anything you need, like if you need me to come guest on, we can talk about all the haunted locations you want, because I could tell you there's so many to cover.
See, this is why we're such good friends. That is a deal. I will take you up on that.
Absolutely, my friend.
Well, I want to wish you a very happy Halloween season, and I want you to hold on for 1 second so I can thank you off air. But for Footsteps in the Attic, this is Brian Hobson. For the beautiful, amazing Miss Angela Kotz, we'll see you next week, and happy Halloween.